It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This month, 90.5 WESA is embarking on a three-year initiative called Life of Learning to explore challenging opportunities and successes of efforts to help residents, particularly children, be lifelong learners. The kickoff this week comes in the form of a five-part series looking at the history of the summer vacation, how it came about, and how it impacts education. Here to tell us more about the initiative and the areas we're focusing on is 90.5 WESA's Kevin Gavin, no stranger to education himself as our Director of Internships and Training. He joins us in Studio A. Kevin, good day. Good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Paul.
We're not talking necessarily about traditional education here, are we?
That's sort of a launching point for this. We cannot exclude it because traditional education, as you and I know, those schools that we attended, they do set the groundwork. They set the foundation along with whatever input our parents had in emphasizing the importance of education, but it has to go beyond the classrooms. It has to go beyond those buildings and even those campuses of the school grounds because it's not just a September to May, September to June learning process. It does need to be year-round. Not necessarily school year-round, but learning year-round.
So when we talk about education outside of buildings, beyond buildings and beyond campuses, where are we taking our listeners?
Well, we are going to go, everywhere from inside their homes to organizations like the Pittsburgh Children's Museum or Reading is Fundamental or other community organizations that either hold their own and conduct their own sort of structured learning programs during the course of the summer and maybe even throughout the calendar year, to also, just as I said, the homes, because it does begin there with the impact the parents have on their kids to want to learn, to be excited about learning. So we're going to go everywhere. Plus, we're not going to ignore the schools as well because they often have good summer programs as well. Not summer school. No. We don't want summer school, but summer learning programs.
Well, you know, as long as you've brought that up, the summer vacation, we certainly looked forward to it when we were kids, that nice break, nearly 3 months or 2.5 months or so. Right. Out of school. It didn't mean that you didn't go to the library or things like that, but there's two schools of thoughts on this. One that says a break is good for kids, and then there's the other that is concerned about children sliding back, that they're losing something in terms of the quality of their education by taking time off.
That's true, and that was really the emphasis, the idea behind our kickoff series that we started this week. And in fact, on Essential Pittsburgh yesterday, you broadcast the first story in that series, Mark Newtbar, taking a look at the summer vacation, sort of how it came about, but also its impact on schools, on the learning process, even the formalization of a school year, how that was set from September to early June or what have you, but also the impact of that summer vacation on what it did to learning or what it does do to learning if we don't challenge our kids throughout those summer months. Now, yes, they need that refreshment, but you can also still stimulate them, excite them, and they'll learn. Maybe they won't even realize they're learning it at the same time.
And it's probably the best when that happens, when it's so much fun, you're so caught up in it that you don't even realize that it's an exercise. It's just something that is piquing your curiosity and you're fully engaged. We're talking with 90.5 WESA's Kevin Gavin about our three-year initiative called Life of Learning. And Kevin, what are some of the basic components you'll be looking into during this series? And I know you've brought along some examples.
Yes, this particular series or the whole long project?
I think both, because this series is important. But also, I think over the course of 3 years, it would be interesting to see exactly what path we're going to follow.
Okay.
We're going to follow.
I have brought along examples. And as we said, Mark looked at the summer vacation and its impact. Today, Josh Rollerson took a look at the brain. Now, the brain does not get flabby during the summer. Maybe a little bit rusty, but not flabby. But the idea is to keep it going. And what researchers have found is that there is a, they hate to say the term summer brain drain. They prefer summer slide or summer setback. And one of the people that Josh Rollerson spoke with was Catherine Augustine. Catherine is a researcher at the RAND Corporation's Pittsburgh office.
We know from decades of research that students come back in the fall about a month behind where they were in the spring. And so schools spend a month or so at the beginning of the school year reviewing material that the students had already grasped.
So the brain is like a muscle, and you have to exercise it.
You have to exercise it. And it's interesting, RAND actually just began a two-year study on summer learning, and this follows some earlier research that RAND had conducted. And Augustine told Josh, that they found that there is a socioeconomic aspect to that summer slide.
The main problem is that low-income students lose ground, on average, in reading and literacy-related skills over the summer, whereas, on average, middle and higher-income students maintain where they were in the spring or even gain ground over the summer.
So researchers, Paul, they've found evidence of a summer slide or setback in a piece set for Friday on Morning Edition. It's going to involve a discussion among four Pittsburgh-area teachers. They're from the city, from McKeesport, from Gateway, and Quaker Valley. I brought them together, and one of the questions I asked them, do you agree that there is a slide or a setback?
I would probably press that they're even a little bit further behind than, you know, what the study's saying, because you get them and you want to have them to know how to, you know, how to participate in your class and how to do all the routines that by the time you get into the meat of it, they would definitely need a little more, then you have to hit it a little harder.
We definitely have a summer setback, a summer slide with our children. We do a lot of assessments at the end of the year, including like the MAP, which is a nationally normed test, different assessments to gauge where the students are currently on their instructional levels. And we give those exact same assessments when they return in August.
I'm curious, Kevin, as to whether any of these educators spoke to the idea that a break is important because it encourages a child to engage in free thinking, and that ability to do some creative thinking might help to make the student more fully engaged, if for no other reason than encouraging curiosity about the world.
And they did. And if they didn't use that term, it did. They said the child can explore on his or her own with some guidance, with some, you know, from the parents or whatever, and they can do it. And it depends, of course, on the age of the child as well, about how much guidance they need for that summer learning. So we have the idea of this summer slide. We have the setback. And as Catherine Augustine of RAND said, the slide seems to be steeper for kids in poorer families. There's also a problem of access, unfortunately, to some of the great summer learning experiences that we're going to find out about during the course of this summer on 90.5 WESA. But there's also this problem of access, whether it's the cost of the program or even if they're free, transportation to get the kids to these programs. I brought you a little sample. Deanna Garcia is going to explore this story tomorrow during our series. And she spoke with Chelsea Candy. She's a young woman who is bothered by that fact that kids don't have equal opportunities, equal access, especially girls. And so she says, I'm not just going to opine about it and complain about it. I'm going to do something. She is starting her own summer robotics camp. It's free.
Wow.
And it is for girls.
I think it's especially important for low-income girls to have this camp because they may not have an experience, a one-on-one intimate learning experience like this, because they may not just ever be exposed to it in their normal school curricula.
Very interesting.
It's great that kids, and she is a very young woman, she's, I believe, a high school senior, she is helping to solve a challenge. She's meeting a challenge head on, and so she wants to help students who are younger than she is.
Well, and it takes, I'm guessing, that kind of community involvement. This is one example of that, isn't it? That as more and more parents are having to, you have dual income families, that's both parents have to work to make ends meet. So no longer is mom hanging around to make sure you turn off the TV and read for an hour a day. That the involvement of these kinds of people and these ideas will help keep kids in line and thinking about and being prepared to learn come the fall.
Absolutely right. The idea is that they're not a month behind or more come September. And Paul, if I might add one more thing, and that's it doesn't have to be structured programs like the one that Chelsea is creating or ones at the organizations that we're all so very familiar with. Parents can do so much by themselves at home with their kids. If they're already... Take that Sunday, whatever happened to the Sunday drive, go around, take a look at some of the great historical places in the Pittsburgh region, talk a little history, read those, take a little walking tour, do a little reading. The kids don't even realize they're reading. Look at those historic markers that are all throughout the city. Have them read it, then talk a little bit of history. When they're at the swimming pool, do math problems. How do you do math problems at the swimming pool, Paul?
Well, let's see. You add how much it costs to you take how much money you have and you try to figure out how many things you can buy at the snack bar that dollar.
That's you, and that's a good math problem. But find out the length of the swimming pool. If the child is, you know, old enough and able to swim lengths of the lap, find out how long it is, get them to count how many laps they did, do some multiplication, how far they swam. If they're old enough and you can time them, find out how fast they swam. And for the little ones who are just practicing going under, you know, how long they can hold their breath underwater, time them. And they can even average out how long they're able to. And it's a contest for themselves, and they're learning some math as well.
It's a series called Life of Learning, or an initiative called Life of Learning, exploring challenging opportunities, helping residents, particularly children, be lifelong learners, and 90.5 WESA's Kevin Gavin has joined us to talk about that. Kevin, it's going to be interesting as this unfolds over the next months and years to come. We'll look forward to that and to having you back.
Thanks so much for this opportunity, Paul.
My pleasure. Coming up, just who is the National Security Agency spying on, and why should we be concerned? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.